Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, Reverend Jerry Carr.
Hey.
Welcome.
Yeah. Please remain standing for an hour. Please sit. Thanks, Drew. You know, Drew and Paul have done such a great job here in Charlotte, moving the word and being faithful for like 100,000 years here with their family, and then it's grown, and I couldn't be more thankful for their lives and their stands on God's word and how they haven't really diverted from the same word that we were taught many years ago. I don't know if it says it on the program or not, but this is supposed to be a night owl. Did that say that? No? Oh, well, then forget it. It's not a night owl anymore. But Dr. Worrell used to call these things where, you know, you're at the end of a big day, and sometimes he would just sit down and talk with the people that were there, and he mentioned that it was a time to just kick your shoes off and kind of mess around, and that's kind of what I'm going to do. It's kind of what I do best, is mess around. A lot of times people, with my life anyway, have tried to figure me out, and, you know, that's impossible because I don't have my own self figured out. I'm not a big planner, and I'm not a big organizer, and I'm not a whole lot of things, but I am a son of God. And if you want to go to Psalm, you can if you want to. If you want to just listen, this isn't going to be a note-taking time, I hope. You know, put your notes down, will you? Just throw them away. Don't throw them away. Put your Psalm books down. Just relax for a little bit. Psalm 18. I thought we'd just read some scriptures a little bit and see what else happens. In Psalm 18, it says in verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. This man David was something, you know. You read these psalms, and one of the things I love about the psalms is that David was so human. It says he shook with fear. One place he shook so bad his knees knocked together. It says he was sick. It says he was afraid. It says he needed help. It says it sounds a little bit like me, for sure, and probably like you, too. Yet the Bible, and he made some big mistakes, you know, with that Bathsheba must have been really good looking. But then he had a believer killed. And as bad as any of us have been in our lives, as far as I know, but I don't know all of you very well, so maybe... I don't think any of us have had a believer killed. And yet he had to work through that, and God helped him even through that. So are you so bad? No. We all suck. And that's why we have a Savior. There's nobody here that's a big shot, and there's nobody here that's a little shot. We're God's masterpieces. We're, gosh, these teachings today, right? Man, every single one of them was so on point. Verse 2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. That's a lot of things that David said God is. And to him, that was real. It wasn't some facade. It wasn't some fugazi. It wasn't some fake, some phony thing that he was saying. It was how he felt in his heart. I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly man made me what?
Afraid.
Afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called on the Lord, and cried unto the God, my God. And to him it was his God. That was his God. It was a personal thing. My God. Yep. My God. He heard my voice out of his temple. and my cry came before him, even in his ears. Man, what a God, what a relationship he had with God. Look at verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy. And enemies don't necessarily mean people. It could be fear. It could be frustration. It could be worry. It could be doubt. It could be heartache. It could be hurt. It could be a lot of different things. But he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. That's where I stayed. Gosh, Cece's teaching today, man, it took me out in such a great way. I put myself in their position. I have three children, to my knowledge. And and I can't imagine one of my children being shot twice and stabbed once. And that they stayed quiet on that trip the whole way. Man, that's something. It's a testimony to what they had done, what God, what Bob, God and Bob. Bob is not God. That's a new book. But it's a testimony to the synchronized life and what they had put in their heart, and they were doing their best to stay their mind, and I'm sure it wasn't easy, and I'm sure they may have got distracted, but they stayed focused for the most part, and that's pretty impressive. You know what impresses God? Believing. Not vernacular. Not how polished of a speaker somebody is. Not how well somebody dresses or does. Oh, I got to show you this. See these pants? I mean, they're nice pants. They're all right. But you know, right before I came, I had to run to the Kohl's. The Kohl's? You got a Kohl's? Ran to the Kohl's, got a pair of pants. Samantha, or whatever her name is, Taylor. She took me so Eloise could sleep in a car or something. So I go, I get Dockers, you know, normal Docker, what do they call those kind of pants? Khakis. And a white pair of Dockers, perfect size for me, 38, 32. I get here, they're like this much too long on it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I look like such a fool. Thought I'd share that with you. Just so you don't judge me on my clothes. The Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me. Why? Because he delighted in me. I don't know how long ago it was now. Is Bob in here or is he translating? Bob, how long ago was it at that day in the Word in North Jersey with Jim Daggan? It was in January of some year. 24. Thanks, Bob, for your great... 25. You're not Bob. It was 25? Sure it's not 24? 2024, because they were still... Yeah, well, okay, thank you. So my son invited me to teach at a day in the Word in Northern New Jersey, and this wonderful fellowship coordinator has been, geez, he got in the Word a long time ago, around when I got in the Word, and been a fellowship coordinator for many, many years. We had a fellowship similar to this. He died. He died. In a bathroom. Oh, well, he didn't die. Yeah, he did die. He was fainting, and he went in the bathroom, and he died. He was dead. There were two nurses there. No pulse. And laid my hand on him, said, God, give him breath. He breathed, and he's still teaching today. The Lord is my stay. And that was I was very shook. But somewhere deep inside, because I literally was shaking, I was upset, I was in turmoil, five senses wise. But somewhere deep down, the word must have been there. And, you know, I didn't save his life, God did. But, man, I've seen somebody get raised from the dead, and they're still alive, you know. And that was quite a fight and quite a process after that, but God raised him from the dead. That's something. The Lord is my stay. Verse 19, he brought me forth also in a large place, and he delivered me. Why? Because he delighted in me. God delights in his kids just like you do. Are your kids always behaved? No. Are we? No. But God delights in us because we're his kids. Remember that. Don't try to front or, to, you know, be yourself. God called you to be you. I love you guys, you young guys here, because you're stupid and you act stupid and you don't care. It's like the naked person. Who mentioned that? Drew, of course, Drew. But, you know, they're not ashamed being dumb and having fun. As a matter of fact, they enjoy their stuff. They tried to rip Ray's arms apart about 10 minutes ago. You look like I did when I danced. Go to Psalm 34. Some of you don't know me, and I'm sorry you got to meet me. Dang. I'm glad I'm here too. Yeah, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, what kind of man is that? That's a man who's after God's own heart. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Humble people are glad people. Prideful people never are. It's never enough. When I come to a fellowship like this, or if I go to a fellowship in New Jersey or wherever it is, where I'm not teaching and stuff, I go and pretend that I'm the only person there, and that whoever's sharing God's word is going to share exactly what I need in my life. And that's an indication of a person's heart, motive. Why do we do what we do? Why go to a fellowship? Why even go? I'd rather have nobody come to my fellowship than have a house full of people and not really care about the word. Oh, I don't care about that. Neither does God. So, it's a great verse. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he hid from me. No. Okay. He heard me. And he delivered me from what?
All my fears.
You know, in power, my goal this year has been and will continue to be, I think, to try to apply everything that's taught in session one of Power for Abundant Living. And you can say, well, that's a pretty easy session. Well, listen to it 10 times. Almost everything you'd ever need to have in your whole life is in that first session. Those of us who have had it and enjoyed it know that. You know, fear is like such a horrible, horrible enemy. And yet believing is such a great friend, you know. I'd rather be friends with believing than enemies and fall into fears in my life. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Verse 17. The righteous cry. Are you righteous?
Yes.
We heard it today. You're righteous now. Oh, and by the way, I don't think anybody in the history of mankind could have had a better theme for an advance than this one. I read the first five chapters of the Blue Book every day for a year on my interim year, and those five chapters are just what a spectacular bunch of Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so cool. Verse 17 again, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth. God always hears. You know, we don't always hear. You're in conversations with people and you're going, And you're thinking about, you know, Tuesday's tennis match, you know. Yeah, okay, okay. God always hears us. He hears us. And he delivers. He not only heareth, and he delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Have you ever had a broken heart? Golly, Pete. That perhaps is more hurtful and damaging many times than physical ailments that you may go through. It's tormenting to have a broken heart. Yet, here it says, he delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto them of a broken heart, and saveth such be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Are we righteous?
Yes.
Do we have afflictions? Yeah, we have mental pressure. We have things that bother us. We have things. It's so cool. But the Lord, and that but is a big J-Lo but. Can I say J-Lo? Okay. But the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Doesn't matter the affliction. It doesn't matter the heartache. It doesn't matter. We have a God that is not only able, but he's willing to perform his word and deliver us from our afflictions, from our heartache, from our headache, from whatever. Doesn't matter how old or how young or what the problem is, God has the solution and he's the one who delivers. Psalm 37, we're right there. I was born at a very early age. Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Here's such a great section. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Boy, you want to have your heart's desires fulfilled? Delight in God. Delight in God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Take it easy. My favorite character of all times is Tony Soprano. I live in Soprano land, and I'm proud of it. I was sitting in the office with Dr. Werwell many years ago, and he was on the phone, and, you know, all I could hear was Dr. Werwell, and he goes, oh, thank you, sir. Oh, thank you. Oh, I appreciate the offer, and man, thank you for offering, and if we ever need you, we'll give you a call. He hung up, and he goes, you know who that was. That was Mr. DeVita. He's a captain in the mafia. And he offered to take this guy out that was messing with a friend of a girl in my way corps. And then he said this. And this is in 1978. And he said, those guys live the mystery better than we do. And I'll never forget that. And at that was the time before they turned each other in and all that, where there was omerta. It was until you died. You were faithful. You were loyal. You took a stand. You took an oath, and you kept it. And never forget that. It's just something. But God wants us to rest in him. He wants us to wait patiently for him. Oh, yeah, take it easy is one of Tony Soprano's favorite lines. Take it easy. Just take it easy. Meanwhile, he didn't take it too easy. fret not because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 46, verse 1. I deem it an honor to be here and to be able to share a little bit. It says, God is our refuge. God is where, that's our safe spot. You know, that's our safe spot and strength. And he's a very present help in trouble. You know, I recommend to everyone to find that place in your life or that spot. Dr. Werwell used to call it the spot. Find that spot where you and God can really groove, where you and God can really enjoy yourselves and you're not pressured. You know, I have several places. You know, I like to walk. And, you know, the adversary tried to take that away from me even. And I love to walk and talk with God. I love music. I love music. Music is something that settles me down. Dr. Werwell knew that about me, and I don't know how, but he used to invite me onto his coach to listen to music. He would play Santana, and I'm like, what the? Dr. Werwell's playing Santana for me? He goes, how do you like it? And he'd always set you up, you know. If you said, I liked it, he'd say, well, that's not good. And if you say, you don't like it, he'd tell you, that's not right. You know, he goes, who's playing that solo? I'm like, he's asking me about Santana solos. And I go, Santana. He goes, ah, no. He goes, it's two people playing solos, but it's the same solo and they're possessed. I was like, whoa, okay. But he knew my interest in music, and sometimes he would just have me on the coach and play music for me. And he knew I'd enjoy it, and he'd enjoy it, and we would have a good time. What's wrong with having a good time? James Brown said it. We're going to have a funky good time. Do people down south know who James Brown is? Come on now. He's the father of the one, right, Will? Sure? Okay. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in what? Boy, he helps us so much. We're getting it together to put together some songs on Spotify, and we're very, very close to being completely done. I want you to play, I have some stuff queued up here. So these are final mixes. This is a story about this guy who's in our band, and we've had a band since 1995. That's a long time. And this guy, I remember the first fellowship he went to, I was at, and this guy had a green and blue mohawk, and he had these jeans on that were ripped, and you could see his package, would you say? I don't know. You can see all that down there. And I was like, wow, this guy. But man, what a guy. And this is a great song about his life. So go ahead and hit it. This is from our band.
Well, I was on my way from high school, going to college now. I was gonna learn everything that I could and put my mind to the plow. I was on my way, on my way. When I got to college, I was not satisfied. My grades are high, the folks are fine, but something wasn't missing, and so I did decide to be on my way, on my way. Oh yeah. When I got home, I started a job for a little bit of pay. I said, man, this is great, this is just what I wanted, career is the way. And I went on my way, on my way. Oh yeah. Well, having a career was nice, but it was lacking some sensation. My pockets were full, but my heart was still empty, so I handed in my resignation. And I went on my way, on my way. Oh yeah. So I picked up my guitar and I just joined a band. We practiced and we played, and soon we were amazed. People had us in demand, and we were on our way, on our way. Oh yeah. Well, the band was really moving. We were gonna go all the way, but I still wasn't satisfied. I said, you know I love you guys, but I simply cannot stay. And I went on my way, on my way. Oh yeah. Well, all this time I had a buddy, and he would speak the Bible to me. He said, I'll give you a little tip, just come with me to fellowship. And I decided to go and see. And I went on my way, on my way. Oh yeah. Well, something in my heart started melting. The Bible made sense that day. I was always lost and I was always searching, but I found out Jesus Christ is the way. Yeah, he's the way, the only way. Oh yeah. Now I'm on my way to heaven. Life might be such a challenging ride, but someday I'll be in heaven, seated by my Father's side. Yes, we're on our way to heaven. Life might be such a challenging ride, but someday we'll all be in heaven, seated by our Father's side. And we're on our way, on our way. Yes, we're on our way, on our way. At last. Amen.
That's pretty, eh? Go to Psalm 61. In verse 1 it says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. You know, that guy who sang there, his name is Brian Gosher. He went to the Berklee School of Music, and he... when he was 21 years old, Sony Music handed him $75,000 and said, make me demos. But then he realized how corrupt the scene was. And he quit. He even broke his contract, which was a miracle that they didn't sue him. Because he wanted to play godly music. He wanted to be involved with the word, and he wanted to just do what God wanted him to do. And that guy has a heart bigger than his voice. He's just such a wonderful guy. Thank God for Brian Gosher. And then verse 2, it says, well, verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock, to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from my enemy. That is God. He's our shelter. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's everything that's good. Name one bad thing about God. You can name plenty bad things about me, but not my Father. And don't let anybody mess with God. Don't let anybody mess with His Word. You can let people mess with you, but never the Word. Never the Word. And I never let anybody mess with anybody who believes the word. I stick up for my brothers and sisters. You all know that. Or those of you that know me know that. I just don't let it happen. I don't let anybody pull any believer down because of their thoughts. Nah, even if they're right, I'm going to stand for God's people. How about you? Psalm 70. This is such a beautiful area of our country. I get blessed every time I come here. I know I'm a goofball and stuff, but I pay attention. I look, you know, and I'm much different than you might perceive me to be. You know, just the green here is so beautiful. Anybody know what the color green represents in the word? Life. And those of you who live here are the life of this place. Like to see a lot more greenery. How about you? Verse 5 says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste to help me. This is the king. I'm poor and needy. Doesn't mean he didn't have money. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help. Thou art my help and thou art my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Come on, God, let's go. Bob was talking about light bearers that we did. I don't know when that was, but I don't know, in the 80s sometime. And he's right. We had two places that we stayed. Albert, were you at Bob's for that light bearers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We went to a park, and there was about 100 of us. And he's not kidding. We slept everywhere. We didn't have hotels. We slept on the floor. We slept on top of each other practically for a week. It wasn't 3 days or 4 days. It was a week. 100 of us. Can you imagine that? That's about how many people are here. And we would get in the Word probably at 10:30 in the morning, and we'd stay in the Word until like 2 in the afternoon. Then we'd go eat, and then I'd challenge them and say, okay, I want everybody here to witness a redheaded person. Now, this is Jersey City. There's no redheads in Jersey City. I want you to witness to a nun. I want you to witness to a Hindu that has a dot on his head. I want you to witness to a left-handed person. And I want you to tell 50 people you're righteous within 5 minutes. You know, and they did. That poor left-handed person got witnessed to 700 times. One redhead, I remember, was at a Dunkin' Donuts, that poor lady. Oh, gosh, she was just pummeled with the word. What a shame. Then we went to a park one day, and it's the last time I stuffed a basketball. So I do remember that. And I was playing basketball because I really couldn't witness there. Because everybody in that park spoke a different language. Other than, what do we speak? English. I was almost, other than me, I spoke American. No. Albert had his Uncle Frango at the bocce ball place. I remember that. Somebody was, and what's amazing is some of these believers actually spoke these languages. There was an Egyptian. Who spoke Egyptian?
So the Egyptian spoke French, and I was helping with some broken French and Italian somewhere in there.
Yeah, and Bob's, donde está usted? Camino, al casa, su casa, mi casa, adios. Dios te bendiga. Hey, me. I speak it the French. I speak it the Italian. Psalm 85. You know, one thing that believers don't do enough of and should is laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a what?
Medicine.
So baby, get some medicine. Get you some medicine. 85. Talk to me, girl. Verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant unto us thy salvation. Listen to this next verse. I will hear what the Lord will speak. Now, we hear the Lord speak in manifestations, right? In tongues interpretation, and then what's the other one? Prophecy, that's it. We hear the Lord speak if he gives us revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits. And we hear the Lord speak by his word. That's where we find out about God, is his word. It's revelation. Here, man, I will hear what the Lord will speak, what God will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. I love this 10th verse. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They're kissing cousins, those, right? That righteousness and peace. It's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing to behold the family of God. I am so glad I'm part of the family of God. You're my family. I never really had a close family. And, you know, when I moved to New Jersey, I was so amazed and thankful for the Italian families that were in New Jersey and for the Spanish families specifically, those two, because they were so loyal and are so loyal to each other. And they really have an idea of family. And I never did. It really blessed me and still does. But then, you know, you got to go to every birthday. And, you know, if you don't, you know, they gave $100 at the wedding. I got to give 101, you know, all Roman Catholic background. But I love those people. I don't know. They're just great. I've always loved those guys. What verse was I in? What? Yeah, they kissed each other. That's nice. Let's go to Psalm 86. We're right there. Verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Wow. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He's plenteous in mercy. You know, that means you deserve a hit in the head with a ball bat, and God withholds that ball bat from hitting you. Even though you earned that ball bat, he's going to not let you get hit because of his mercy. It's a big deal, boy, mercy. Yeah. Plenteous in mercy. Verse 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I'll call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. You think he was sure of that? I think so. His attitude was, God's going to take care of me. Even if I'm in trouble, he's going to take care of me. That's our God. That's our Father. He cares more than we could ever care for any human being. That's a beautiful baby. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. They don't think about anything except you're going to provide for them. They fall on the floor. They come crying. You hold them. They stop crying. You feed them. They're happy. We need to be more like kids and stop trying to be such grown-up people. Grown-ups suck. They think too much. They worry too much. Hey, let's go. I called upon the Lord. I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, verse 8, there's none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. Boy, God is just so fantastic. Here's another little song. You want to hear another one?
Yeah.
This one here, Christina Armstrong and me wrote. And I didn't know what to call it, so I called it Lala. And it's really a story of kind of me. It's actually a true story, kind of. Sometimes you don't know what to think about or what to say when you're in a car. So, okay, let's roll it. This is kind of a driving song. So think about it and listen to the words. They will bless you. Don't listen to my vocals.
La 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 la.
Driving down the street one day, I didn't know what to say. My mind was drifting, so I spoke in tongues. Now I know that I have won. I need your love and I need it now. I need your mercy and I need it now. I need your word and I need it all of the time. My mind was peaceful and its rest of my soul. Isn't it great? I am made whole. Just to think that I could magnify God. Isn't it great? It isn't hard. I need your love and I need it now.
The end of that song was from camp where everybody sang along. That was fun. Let's see. Go somewhere else. Let's go to Psalm 107. I've also been blessed to see all the, how much you fellowshiped with one with another while you're here. And I'm blessed that Drew and Michael or whoever did this, Drew's primarily, how a lot of time has been allotted to fellowship and hang out together. That's, you know, that's where a lot of times the rubber meets the road. I got real blessed, I don't know when, if it was before the first fellowship tonight or not, but saw a few of you guys praying, and that really blessed me. Some of these middle-aged guys in their 40s praying together. I don't know what it was. It doesn't matter. It's none of my business, but it really blessed me just to see the example that you guys are. You know, you can fool people, but example's the thing that's always clear, how we act, how we live, and stuff like that. It's the fruit of what we think. It's the fruit of how we are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what was the verse that Bob shared about? Somebody shared. Oh, crud. It was in Proverbs. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I think he said, was that, somebody share that? Well, somebody should have shared it. They should have shared it. Say should have shared it 10 times. Okay. In Psalm 107, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. That covers everywhere. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsting, their soul fainteth in them. It's desperate here. But then it says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. One of the problems believers have is you try to fake God out. Not on purpose. Everything's okay. And things aren't okay. God wants us to cry out unto him. He wants, you know what all he wants from us? Everything. He wants our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants us to love him with all of that. And we should never hesitate to cry unto God. Help, Lord. That's another song I wrote. Help me, Lord, take a stand on your word because I know it's true. Yes, I do. But help. Help me. I wished I had the Counsel of the Lord book up here. That's not, is that in the Bible tells me something?
Yeah.
Oh, good, you have that. Oh, gosh. Yeah, you got it right there. Thanks. Yeah, because, boy, that's one of my favorite chapters. Of course, I say that about every chapter, so it makes me a liar. Sorry. But all men are, even you. Oh, these aren't on the same page as me. Forget it. But, you know, it's like, I'm deceived, help me. I'm weak, strengthen me. And he goes on and on about those things. And it's okay to talk to God and say that. We are not what John Candy said to Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It must be great to be so perfect and odor-free. Look, we're not so perfect. And we're not so odor-free, but we have a heart for God because we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And from that moment on, we were his kids. And whether we like it or we don't, he's God and we're not. We don't have the brains to figure life out. Well, why should we? The Word of God says that, it says it in here in the Bible. You can go to 1st or 2nd Peter, either one. I think it's 2 Peter 1. Go there. Take a ride. Or put your Bibles down and just listen. And don't take notes. 2 Peter 1. Yeah. Verse 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us. And this us is referring to believers. It's for the diaspora, yes, but it's for all believers. As his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Are you kidding me? So that means the Bible has the answer concerning drugs, homosexuality, transvestites. It has the answers to race. It has the answer to all the problems in the world. It has the answer to health. It has the answers to wealth. It has the answers to life. That word life is life in all its fullness. Zoe. Yeah. And man, if it has all things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, then wouldn't it help us if we knew what God's word said about everything. And if we don't know, we have a problem, let's say, and we don't know what to do about it, or we don't know where in the word it says something, then call Bob. Bob will tell you.
Well, I think that's in Psalms.
Back in Psalm 107. It's good he's not in here. That Bob Chatton's one of the meekest people. Always has time. The busiest people always have time. And Bob always has time. He always takes the time. And it's not like he doesn't have a life. But his life's the word. So many of you guys. I mean, we don't have time. I can't give you the history of all this Harbor Light stuff. I mean, even how we ended up here. You know, it's just God. Allowing God to direct our path. That's grace. But God will, if you let him. Let him. Back in Psalm 107. Let's go to verse, I don't know, any verse. You want to pick a verse? You want to go to 20? Okay, let's go there. He sent his word and he healed them. Well, no, let's go verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. That's where they cry. That's where we need to cry when we're troubled. And he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them. He not only healed them, he delivered them. And that doesn't mean he gets rid of your liver. He delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works of the children of men. God just is a loving, kind, delivering God who just wants his children to come to him and say, "Help me, Father. I need help." Sure does. 1 Peter. Chapter 5, if you're going to go, if you want to listen, just listen. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. And this is referring to overseers. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not because you have to, but willingly. I don't do this because I have to. I want to. I want to be with you. That's why I'm here. I want to be with you. I want to fellowship with you. I need your love. I need your heart. I need your grace, your forgiveness. I need you, and you need mine. We need each other. We really need each other, from the north to the south to the east. The West. Yeah. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And by the way, tomorrow's abundant sharing. Don't give if you don't want to. Don't. I promote not giving. Unless you got a heart to give, don't do it. It's stupid. You know what happens when you don't have a heart to give? You're just throwing your money away. Dr. Worrell was in an elevator with this incredible evangelist back in the day named Reverend Ike. Anybody of you ever hear him? Oh, yeah. And Dr. Worrell loved Reverend Ike. And Dr. Worrell was on an elevator with him, and he said to Dr. Worrell, "You know, it's not the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's the lack of money." It's like, wow. He liked Reverend Ike because he'd say, "Send your money in because I'm going to buy a Cadillac." Now, that's honest. But don't give, really, unless you want to. You don't want grudging anything or necessities. That's right. I know the Bible. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. We want to, I want to practice what I preach. I want to be a good example. If I decide I don't want to be a good example, I'll hide in my house. I don't want anybody to see me be a crummy example. I stay home a lot lately. No, I'm just kidding. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger. Lucy, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. You know, you get these husbands that think, your wives, you're my wife, you're in submission, whatever I say goes, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, if you're a husband, you should be the head of your house and you should direct it, but subjection is, here it's the believers. We're supposed to be subject one to another. We all are. And to be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. And really, it's the proud that resists God and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you, may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All of it. He wants it all. And, you know, I've had the privilege of whatever I've been able to do for so many years, and I've dealt with so many of you and so many others, and in crisis situations where things weren't going so good. And we get through it together. It's a together thing. It's fantastic. What verse am I in? Casting all your care, verse 7, on him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he can scare. He tries to scare us. Tries to fight, frighten us, so then he can bite you. Don't allow it. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, in believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This verse 10, it's a big verse for me because I was really struggling with balance at one time. It was, if I had time, I mean, I've been through tornadoes, earthquakes. I've had shit. I've been in boats that flipped over. I don't know. But I've had a lot of issues. And so I have so many things. And this one issue I had was with my balance, and it was after the earthquake. I don't know what happened. I still don't know. But I could hardly walk. I was so dizzy. When I got home, and I pounded this section of scripture in my head until, I don't know, it was like 4 or 5 days of just pounding my head with this one verse, and it changed my life. You know, you stay in there with God, and God will deliver you. Dang it, he will. That's what he says. He will. Okay? But the God, verse 10, of all grace... You know, this is after all these temptations, afflictions. Of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, and I was suffering for a while, he'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. No matter what the calamity, no matter what the problem, what the opportunity, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual. And a lot of times, you know, we can't figure anything out. We don't even know the cause of anything. But so stop trying to think you do. Go to God. If he's got all things that pertain unto life and godliness, then, dang it, we ought to let God win and not our brains. Let his word speak in our lives to the end that we believe it. It's a really great thing to do. Let's go to another song. You want one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. All right. Go to this one. What God says. What God says.
Abraham was a man that God had promised a son, and Abraham got kind of old. Could have figured that God was done, but Abe knew that God could be put to the test. He counted him faithful, and God did the rest. And Abraham was a man that did well in the land, and he and Sarah had a son. He knew that, God, I'm here and I need your help. I know my way is not in myself, and I'm not afraid to cry to you. It's the best thing that I can do, and what God says I'll do. And David was a man, he was a man after God's own heart. And Dave didn't always know where the trouble would start, but he put his trust in the Lord instead of what he could afford. And David was a man that did well in the land. He cast all his care on his Lord, saying, God, I'm here and I need your help. I know my way is not in myself, and I'm not afraid to cry to you. It's the best thing that I can do, and what God says I'll do. Jesus Christ was a man, and he's seated at God's right hand. He humbled himself, never served himself. The world was a mess, but God had a plan. So many people he gave health, but he could do nothing of himself. And Jesus Christ was the man that followed God's plan. He completed redemption for every man, singing, God, I'm here and I need your help. I know my way is not in myself, and I'm not afraid to cry to you. It's the best thing that I can do, and what God says I'll do. Now I am just a man, but I am a man who is whole. And God has made me righteous, and God has made me holy. His word is the joy of my soul. And it don't take no PhD to see that God is smarter, smarter than me, and that I can be a man that does well in the land. And I can reach up for my Father's hand, saying, God, I'm here and I need your help. I know my way is not in myself, and I'm not afraid to cry to you. The best thing that I can do, and what God says I'll do.
Song, isn't it? Can you play Say What? Say What God's Word Says. Yeah, the old one. Can you do that? I think I'm doing this for Will. I think this might be the one he's thinking of. I'm trying. No, this is such a great song because it's all the word. It's just the word. It's all it is. You got it. You got it. You got it. Especially the introduction. Turn it up.
Here we are at Radio Love. We Be Love radio station, where God's word is at the center of our hearts. I'd like to shout out to all you people out there. Say a little thing about love. Say a little thing about God. Say a little thing about his word. So we're going to say what?
peace from God our Father. He had not dealt with us after our sins. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Say what, 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 say what God's word says. What does word say? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. By Christ's stripes ye were healed, ye were healed. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Say what, 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 say what God's word says. Christ who strengthened me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Say what, 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 say what God's word says. What God's word says. God hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Spirit of fear, God says, but of love and power and of a sound mind. God says, perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. God says, there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Say what, 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 say what God's word says. Say what God's word says.
Go to Psalm 77, if you want to. This was that Asaph that was shared the other teaching. And you know what I love about these advances? I never remember who taught what, and that's kind of cool. As long as you remember what's taught. It doesn't matter how the song gets there, it's that the song gets there. and song gets sung. 77th Psalm. I think we'll close with this, and then I got one more song. Asaph said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And boy, we've all been there. I sure have. I remember God. And yeah, this is what, was it you, Drew, that shared this? I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. And we know how that helps so much. And my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? And here's a southern verse. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Boy, he mentioned a chief singer, but he was a prophet. He was a man of God. But he was honest enough to go to God. You see, sometimes I think we just get too full of ourselves, and that's not ever good. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent sort. Oh, I read all that. Verse 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Well, this is what you do when we get out of fellowship. Start remembering God. Remember how wonderful God is, even in the midst of your calamity. You can remember, and Drew mentioned this, you can remember what God has done for you, and that's wonderful. But you know what else you can do? You can remember what God has done for other people. You can remember how God took Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt. You can remember all these things in the Word that God did for people, how he bore his arm for his people. You can remember things about your family. You can remember the healings. You can remember just all the deliverance that God has wrought amongst his people. And boy, that gets you right up and out of the negativity that your mind might be in. He decided now to remember the years of the right of the Most High. And I can just hear him getting psyched up. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember the wonders of old. I'll meditate also on thy work and talk of thy doing. Thy way, O God, is such a great God in the sanctuary. Who's so great as our God? Come on, put him up, put him up. Who's going to mess with God? Now, 2 seconds ago, he was in desperate straits. But he remembered God. He remembered what God did. This ain't much of a night owl. This is more like a hoot owl or something. I don't know. But, you know, we got to remember all the great things that God has done. Boy, remember all these things. I'll remember the works of the Lord. I'll remember who is so great a God as our God. Thou art the God that doest wonders, that hast declared thy strength among the people. And that's really it for me. You know, I like reading Psalms many times because it just settles me down. But also the truth behind these Psalms are just so magnanimous, so wonderful. How David, a man after God's own heart, went through human stuff, just like we go through human stuff. And you could say, well, I'm a son of God with power. And you are. But dang it, bear your heart to God. Let him do the work. Let God do his job. We do what was taught tonight. We confess the word we believe in all day, really. We believe the word, we confess the word, and then we just let God do his job. My job is to trust God with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding, and in all my ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. And that's my goal for life. My goal for life is that my path can be directed by my Heavenly Father. And the only way I can accomplish that is by putting all my trust in him. and not to lean toward mine own understanding. We all have these phones. We all have these computers. We all have these things that are can be positive, can be helpful, but they also are a big royal pain in the you know what. And they help distract us away from what God is. God is not a computer. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? And now what he said, shall he not make it good? That's our God. Our God's a good God. Our God is a God who never lies. We do, not God. God never lies, and he will help us. And we have to break through our stupid brain sometimes to get to the place where we just allow God to work in us mightily. Give it to him. Let him help us. He's our help. He's our refuge. He's our safety. He's our deliverer. He's our God. He's what causes us to be more than conquerors. He's God. And you know, when I was 18 years old, I took the Power for Abundant Living class in Alameda, California. And I just, to this day, I'm so thankful. But I remember when I was done with that class, I literally wrote it down, and I had it until I somehow it got lost. I wished I still had it because it was in my writing. And I said, I want to be the best Jerry Carr for God I can be, and I want to live for you in everything that I do. And a while ago, I wrote a song called For You I Will Live, and I want you to play that now, okay?
Like to talk it over with you. Because you're always there. So faithful to listen to my heart, which today seems so rare. You were always there for me to bless, to love, and to give. I have made it's for you I will win. You never look down on me. But you're always there with love. You are never pointing fingers. But you're always there with love. To love and to give, I have made my decision.
for you I will be. I can always trust in you. Because you're always true. I can cry or be happy or be blessed. You help me get rid of all of my blues. You were always there for me to bless, to love, and to give. Oh, yes, you are. I have made my decision. It's for you. It's for you I will live. It's for you I will live.
If God could paint a picture of how much he thinks of you, he'd use every single color of the rainbow, every hue. And if God wrote a poem to tell how great he knows you are, it would stretch from sky to sky, and it would teach and reach the highest star. If God wrote you a love song entitled What You Mean to Me, it would be an everlasting song in godly harmony. But our God did far better than a verse or song for you. He outpainted any picture using every single hue. When he chose you to be his child and placed you in his hands as an integral part of the body of Christ, a vital part of his masterful plan. If you could lay before me all the treasures of this earth, they wouldn't light a candle just what our friendship's worth. For could a diamond melt my heart the way you often do? Could a ruby manifest the love of God and Christ in you? Could a million-dollar piece of gold reach out a loving hand? Could it speak the word of God to you as a Christian in the household can? Pray no, they can't, for they have no heart, and their glitter soon fades away. But you and I in the body of Christ can build our friendship day by day. And though the world will never understand just how much you mean to me, it's because they don't have the eyes of Christ and can't see the heart I see. For all the words in all the world could never begin to say how much I treasure our friendship and the love we share today. And so I pen this poem for you so you'd begin to see how much I treasure who you are and what you mean to me. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful body of Christ that you placed us in. Thank you that you've given us such a wonderful instruction manual, your word, that never runs out of truth. And I pray that our hearts can be knit together in your love, and we can allow your peace to reign within us. I pray for the healing wholeness of your word and what it provides as we believe, and that this day and yesterday night can lend healing to our lives and those areas and those cracks and those crevices in our hearts that we need mending. And for the bodies that are worn and torn, for you healing them because of your love and goodness, not because of our works and because of what your Son accomplished, that we can claim healing. I pray that you keep the adversary off your people's back in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything that holds any of us back, Father, we just ask you to provide a path that we can walk through that's perfect, and that we can accept that path and walk in it and claim victory and manifest it in our lives. Thank you again for these beautiful people here and for blessing them exceeding abundantly above all they could ask or think according to your power. And just for the privilege and honor, Father, for being your sons, and that we can just enjoy life in every aspect of our lives. And again, for healing the hearts that need healed, and that those prisons can just be cast to you, knowing that you care for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Thanks a lot.